Wake me up! Free me from this! So wake me up when
it's all over. That wake-up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed! What are you doing? You're late! You're late! You're late!
I'm wide awake!
Come on, everybody! Wake up! Rise and shine!
Wake me up when
wake up, will you, pal?
Wake up, little Susie, wake up.
Wake me up before you go, go.
Wake up, everyone.
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, we're ready. We are so here to entertain you. We have such a big show for you today, and I just want to say, and this is really, Lamar, you're really going to appreciate this, the way my inbox is are filled with people wanting to talk trash about the Golden Bachelor. So we called it. We called it weeks ago.
Yep.
This was not going to be a marriage that lasted. You could tell when they were together, like I'm not talking about the finale of the show, but you could tell when like paparazzi photos would catch them together that there was a weirdness. And Teresa, you know, there's a reason why movie stars get paid the big bucks and TV stars, because they're really good actors. Regular people are not so good at acting.
No.
And Teresa was not great at acting like she was thrilled to be married to Gary, the Golden Bachelor, who of course turned out to be not quite as he was presented.
Can I give you her comments on the breakup?
Please.
Right now?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. These were her first comments. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. Something I never expected to happen at this point in my life. And I truly thought it was going to last forever. It turns out, even at the age of 70, you don't know everything. Sometimes things don't go the way you planned, and that's okay. Unquote. Is there any way that they can continue with this after this? Because
yes,
you've got to have
yes,
just the biggest bunch of stunads watching the next Golden Bachelor after this. It's been exposed as a complete joke.
But let me tell
matter.
You why.
No, it doesn't joke. Matter.
Let me tell you why matter. They go on. People have short memories and short attention spans.
Yep.
And, you know, we've had plenty of Bachelor and Bachelorette seasons that were a joke. And then they came right back again 3 months later with season 59 or whatever, and it worked. It worked.
You know,
I
you
have
know what
no
will
doubt
really
this
help
will work.
It. I'll tell you what'll help it. And I this is my next prediction, because I've been good with these predictions on the Golden Bachelor. I predicted that there's going to be a Golden Bachelorette, and they've already intimated that there is going to be. If they get rid of the Golden Bachelor, at least for now, and as you said, Sherry, let people forget a little bit about it, how you know, full of baloney it was, and bring on the Golden Bachelorette. People go, oh, well, this, you know, maybe it's going to be a little bit different with a woman who is the primary subject. The Golden Bachelorette will be on the air within the next few months.
Let me tell you something. If they put the Golden Bachelor on next week, people would turn it on. They would turn it on.
This sadly,
would,
no,
this
that's
doesn't
probably
stop
true.
It.
Yes, they'll hate watch it. Watch it.
What
again.
Does that say about
yes.
us? Though, that we're going to watch something that we know is phony. What does that say
something
about
us? Something we should
and
all know. We're terrible people.
Real.
We're terrible people.
is that the final answer? Really?
We're terrible people.
I feel that way sometimes with the news. I'm like, what are we doing watching this? It's supposed to be real, and this is so bogus. Like,
I know.
What will happen is, and this is how they'll get around it. Yes, Teresa and Gary, you know, they didn't make a go of it. But Gary was not who he was presented to be. And also, I think that you should maybe have a conversation about who wants to move to Indiana or New Jersey before
yes.
you
Somebody's
got say
to be willing
I do.
To move.
That's a big
I
move
knew,
one way or the other, yeah.
I knew when I saw the dress that they made Teresa wear. And Teresa, because again, she's a real person, not an actor. Teresa came right out and told People Magazine that she didn't like her dress. I knew when I saw that dress, I said to my husband, this marriage is over. And he doesn't watch The Golden Bachelor. So he said, what did I do this time? I'm like, no, not our marriage. The Golden Bachelor marriage is over. Because that dress is hideous and ugly. And that dress, I think it doomed their union as much as anything. I love that you're so pure, Bob. You're so pure that you think that the Golden Bachelor being bogus is going to change anything. Stay golden, pony boy. Never change, because that is just so pure.
People will tell you what they're all about, whether they're politicians. All you have to do is listen, and then you can decide whether or not you like them. And that's what this is doing. They're telling you what it is. And if you're making the decision to watch it again, you know, okay, you know, but it's your life. You want to throw away, you know, 5 or 6 hours on it, go ahead and do it. But I say there are better things you can do with your time, like going outside and staring at a bird.
Listen, people watch Vanderpump Rules season after season after season.
Yeah. Yeah,
all of these shows, and it's not like any one of them is contributing, you know, to the greater good of humanity. People hate watch this stuff. All right, coming up, we've got morons in the news. We have comedian Melissa Villasenor. We've got a big old show for you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Well, the anger continues, and it is as hot as it was several days ago. CBS got slammed, and they continue to get slammed, over cutting off the anticipated special, the 100th Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden, yeah, the greatest arena run of all time. And, you know, it really is impressive to have headlined at Madison Square Garden. I know he's a local boy, but that is a really impressive thing to do. The special started a half hour late due to the Masters. And then as Joel was singing Piano Man, the network said to itself, boy, we got all these affiliates and they want that money to do local news. Let's just pull out. To say that the fans were furious is an understatement, and it continues to this day. Let me just jump in and say, this is my take, because I've worked in local television and, you know, I know a little bit about show business. Folks, the local station reporting on a garage burning down is still going to be your news 15 minutes later. It just made no sense whatsoever.
I am surprised that it's still as outrageous as it, like, my, with everything else going on in the world, the amount of furious posts I'm still seeing about that, like on my Twitter, is kind of nuts.
I mean, why people did they just do like that? To get that mad was so about something stupid. Else.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more comfortable. I'll be honest, like over the weekend, you know, when Iran started launching missiles, I was like, huh, yeah, I'm going to hyperventilate. What is happening here? I think it's easier to be furious at CBS. It feels
That's
more
exactly
manageable.
That's exactly what I thought. That's what I thought. Like, it's impossible to
thinking?
Really get into the heads of the Iranians. But you know that some stunad did this, and you can get mad at them.
And what everybody can thinking? Agree that this ticks everybody off.
Right.
Cutting away from this ticks everybody off.
I feel sorry for the local affiliates because people blamed their local station, not CBS in general.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was never a really big Billy Joel fan. I know he's a genius and he's done some wonderful work. I always felt his music should be on Broadway. You know, it's still rock and roll to me. It's not really a rock and roll song. But that said, the guy really has chops and the guy deserves, you know, the spotlight after 100 Madison Square Garden appearances. I can't believe they did it. I can't believe
Can
there
I tell
wasn't
you my
somebody
theory?
In CBS programming that would say, I don't know.
Can I tell you my theory? Because all of the people in programming now are, they come from the financial side of the building. So it's all money, data, and analytics. There was not one moment where somebody said, you know, maybe should not interrupt Piano Man. Because the conversation was never about Billy Joel or his fans. It was about what it's always about, eyeballs and money. And that's why I think the decision got made.
You know, I think you're exactly right. I think that the idea of elevating artistry takes a rear seat to an affiliate who's saying, well, you know, we had a big story with a lost dog being returned and we wanted to get No, it was all about local, all about local advertising.
It seems insane to me. This is, like, many, many people love Billy Joel. Like, the guy had a standing deal at Madison Square Garden, for crying out loud. That's how many people love Billy Joel. And this is one of his biggest hits, whether you're a fan or not.
It is.
Why in the world would you cut this?
It's money. Straight ahead, we have Morons in the News. This is Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here we go!
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic.
Asinine.
With Morons in the News.
An Iowa acupuncturist is being accused of sleeping on the job. A patient of State Board certified acupuncture specialist Dr. David Wang. Yes, he's Dr. Wang.
Dr. Wang.
The patient had to call the police when Dr. Wang inserted the needles into him and then went home to take a nap. After waiting an hour and a half for Wang to come back, the patient took the needles out of his own skin by himself and called the sheriff's office for assistance, according to the state board. The Board of Medicine charged Dr. Wang with professional incompetence, but he ended up with only a warning and a $500 fine. So let me just once again restate. There's a guy in pain. He gets the needles in the arm from Dr. Wang, and then Wang leaves him and goes home to take a nap. How do you get away with only a $500 fine? I don't know, you know.
I feel like Max would get more for jaywalking. I'm with you, Bob.
I know.
In Somerset, Australia, Daniel Kellaway told Avon and Somerset police that there was no need to mention his receding hairline after the force put out a search for his whereabouts. They described the 29-year-old as white, about 5'9" of average build, with brown eyes and receding brown hair and facial hair. Not liking this brutal but accurate description, Kellaway replied on the post page, "I'm heading to Turkey to get it sorted out. After the surgery, we'll catch up." He is wanted over several ongoing investigations like driving offenses, criminal damage, and threatening behavior. But now Kellaway has a bunch of fans on social media. A lot of them are with comments like, "Hey, you got to have a laugh, ain't we?" And Kellaway commented again for the police to amend his age also. Retired Detective Mick Melville posted, "I have no doubt police will be combing the area looking for him." But Kellaway won't be laughing for long over this brush with the law. The net will be drawing in. He has so far managed to evade police.
You know, if I'm the police, I'm checking out the Turkish Airways. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to today's moron of the day. You know, some people feel like romance and chivalry are dead, but I think my man here makes a case that romance is alive. His name is Axel Sobrevilla. I love that his first name is Axel. And he lives in North Fort Lauderdale. And his woman lives in North Carolina. She invited him to come see her. So Axel climbed into his red Toyota Camry and got onto Interstate 95. And police in Cocoa Beach clocked him going 108 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic and driving in the emergency lane. I mean, I think of it like the Camry is the most dependable vehicle on earth. I just didn't think of it as a high performance race machine, okay?
Like, or painted red.
Miles, a bright red. Mm-hmm. So police pulled Axel over and they said, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" And Axel, who of course was going 108 miles an hour in his bright red Camry, said, "No, but I am in a hurry to get to my girlfriend." And police were like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, well, cool then. Never mind." But back on the road, no, they arrested him and they booked him and took him to the Brevard County Jail, because even if your girlfriend is awesome and you're so excited to see her, You can't go 108 miles an hour weaving in and out of traffic on 95. So Axel,
men are so pathetic sometimes. We will do anything to get up with y'all. We really will.
Wait till you see his mugshot. This is Axel's face. Well, now I'm really not going to get none. That is Axel's face this mugshot. We're going to post it up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook coming up. Comedian Melissa Villasenor, and we're going to take you down the rabbit hole. AI, Kurt Cobain. You're not going to believe your ears. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
We have a birthday shout out going out to Fatu, who is celebrating her 67th birthday. She is the world's oldest gorilla. She was born in 1957. And she came to the zoo in what was then West Berlin, Germany in 1959. So she celebrated her birthday with a big platter of fruits and vegetables. And the vet who looks after her said that there is no gorilla older than Fatu in any other zoo. And they believe that there is no gorilla older than her in the wild, because animals don't enjoy those long lifespans in the wild. You know, it's hard out there, predators and, you know, food scarcity. So Fatu is a lot like my mom in that she lives in an enclosure of her own and prefers to keep her distance from the zoo's other gorillas in her old age because they get on her nerves. So there was another animal that was even older than Fatu, and that was Ingo the Flamingo. Ingo the Flamingo was 75 years old and had been living in the zoo in Berlin since 1955. So I don't know what they're doing at the Berlin Zoo, but they're doing a great job of caring for their animals because they live to these incredible...
I'd like to move in.
Long eight. Yeah, no kidding. So happy 67th birthday, Fatu. Yeah. And I want you to imagine, because I really do believe that these animals are sentient and we just can't communicate with them. You know, it's got to be wild for Fatu, all she has seen and experienced since the 1950s, and that's just the people that come to see her, all the changes in the way her fans are dressed and appear and seem, all the changes in the world. And I bet if she could talk, she would complain about people being on their phones all the damn time. You know, why are these kids looking? You brought these kids to the zoo and they're looking at iPads? What is this? So happy 67th birthday, Fatu the Gorilla.
Yay, Fatu.
Yay. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Melissa Villasenor.
Right. Hey, everyone. Good to be here. I currently sleep alone. And when you sleep alone, you realize you're the only one to protect yourself at night. Sometimes in the middle of the night, if I hear a sound, I'll think, oh, a presence is here. Make a sound for it to go away, Melissa. So I'll hear a little, and then I'll go, that'll show them. I like to play video games, and I came up with a defense mechanism. When I walk alone at night and I feel like someone's following me, I just like to pretend I'm a Sim. Remember the Sims video game? Because that'll scare them off. Just go, so wow, ah, so wow, be wow, wow, hey, so wow. I'm from LA and I moved to New York for the show, which is awesome. But when I moved to New York, there's these guys called brokers that they open the apartment and show you the place. And there was an apartment I was looking at. Another girl also was looking at it. And we walk in and she did the law of attraction, which is you act as if it's already yours. You say the things out loud. You know, she walks in. She goes, oh, yes, I could see us living here. My boyfriend and I, our bed right here. Look at these cupboards. We could put all our plates and cups in when we have guests over. Oh, that's great. Oh, and in that corner there, I could put our little chair. That is great. And I was like, darn it. That was my plan. I was going to say everything I own out loud and act as if this place was mine. But I realized I couldn't. I couldn't say the stuff I own. It's just weird. Couldn't walk in and be like, yes, I could put my anime stuffed animals over here. I could put my ramen in this cupboard. I don't need these other cupboards. And in that corner there, I could put my chair where I have meltdowns in. I hang out a lot alone, but I do a lot of voices, so I'm never really alone. A lot of friends. Something I used to do when I had Facebook, I used to love reading people's statuses with voices to crack myself up. I'd just be in bed scrolling through that news feed and I would have a blast. Just got engaged. Thanks. Don't give up, single ladies. You're Prince Charming. Shut up, Tiffany.
Just passed my science final. Meet me at the bar to celebrate.
No, no one wants to go, you dork. Then I get that nice essay status, the big chunk. I turn off all the lights, light a few candles, and read it as Gandalf.
Last year, I was in a very dark place. All my friends got married and got raises in their jobs. Well, I lost my job and my wife. Read more. So I wanted to end it there, jump off a cliff. But something changed this year for me. I found happiness because I joined CrossFit. I eat kale every day, and I've been on Tinder getting very lucky. So know this, you too can be happy as I am.
You guys can try that out. Sure. I'm a really sensitive person. I used to get butthurt from the dumbest things. Like, do you ever get people that look at you and say, you know who you remind me of? You look like this girl out there. You sound, dress, look exactly like her. It's crazy. That would always break me. Like, well, if someone's better at being me, then why should I exist, right? So what I used to do is I used to change up my face a bit, hoping they forget who I look like to them. And they go, you know who you remind me of? Who? Well, now the Roach Man from Men in Black.
It's in the back. Sugar water.
All right, guys. I'm Elizabeth Senior. Have a great night.
Oh, man. I'm such a fan of hers. All right. We're going to get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Coming up, we're going to take you down the rabbit hole. That time that AI thought it would tackle Kurt Cobain. And let me tell you something, it won. We got all that coming up for you right here. It's Bob and Sherry. Hide and Scratch is the perfect scratching box. Win one now at bobandsherry.com in our Ketter Day contest. I don't know how we got onto it, but Lamar just casually mentioned that he never went to kindergarten. And we were all like, what? So basically, Doris had Lamar put him out in the backyard to play with his brother Troy's alligator, and then dusted him off and sent him to first grade. Like, what do you mean you didn't go to kindergarten?
There was no such thing as far as we were concerned. And it's not mandatory. In Georgia, it's not mandatory to go to kindergarten. There's a lot of states that don't make you go. And we're out in the middle
now,
of the sticks.
Even now, it's not mandatory?
Yeah.
There are states
right
out
now,
there.
I didn't know that. No. In fact, like, I thought maybe it didn't start till later, but it's been around since forever. But no.
Well, if you didn't go to kindergarten, how are you able to socialize? That must have really been a problem for you.
Yeah, maybe that's why you're such a wallflower. Yeah.
Exactly.
Lamar, if you didn't go to kindergarten, where did you learn your colors and all the words to this land is your land? Like, what? What did you just walked into first grade completely never having been to school before?
Yeah. They teach you everything. I mean, Tom and Jerry.
The idea,
you know, Alice
kindergarten,
the Cat, I mean, yeah.
It's to make you socialize and to follow rules and to also, you know, take the fear.
My mama took care of the rule part. I knew how to follow the rules. I knew that for a fact.
I have such vivid memories of kindergarten, and I feel like I learned so much in kindergarten, but maybe it was just fancy babysitting. I don't know. Now you're making me question.
Well, I think that's what my mama thought of that. And, you know, and listen, my mama was a stay-at-home mom up until I got ready to start school. And then she got a job that went to work before school and got off when school was over with so she could pick me up. I don't know if she did that because I was going to school, or I went to school because she did that. Because maybe if she didn't get that job, I'd still be sitting at the house.
In some places, it is mandatory, but in Georgia, it's still not mandatory. You do not have to send a child to school until they are six.
Well, think about this. Wow. From my mama's standpoint and everybody else's standpoint is, I mean, they're going to teach him sooner or later. That's what they got that for. Why would we send him somewhere else? And I think you had to pay for it if you went to kindergarten at that point. I don't know.
You know what, Lamar? I bet you were just a delightful child. Because my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, my mother-in-law told me once, she said that Kevin, my husband, was so busy and so wild that boy needed to go to school as soon as she could find. He was in preschool at age two. And when I told my mom that, my mom said, was preschool even invented back then? Well, they invented it for him because that busy boy needed to go somewhere and spend some time. So you must have just been a very easy to manage child.
Kindergarten.
Put me outside. That's good. Go ahead,
kindergarten
Bob.
Was a very important building block for me to develop as a personality, as the human being that you know. Because I could remember the first day, Douglas Smith was my next door neighbor. And we were dropped off by our mothers, and Douglas started crying right there the first day because his mommy was leaving him. And I didn't have a problem with it. I just stood there, and I was looking around at stuff, and staring at Douglas Smith and feeling so superior.
Oh, that was so formative for you. And I bet every single time you were a line leader and the teacher gave you credit, that also helped build you into the man that you later became.
I liked that very much. Yes, I did.
Bob, let me point out something. Mm-hmm. You went to kindergarten. You learned all that stuff at kindergarten. But mm-hmm. yet, and I didn't, but yet, here we both sit. We're both doing exactly the same thing.
And for anyone that's
you have a point there.
For anyone that's concerned, I want you to know that Lamar knows his colors and his numbers.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And he knows how to patiently wait until his name is called to get back into line. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
I don't know what to think about this other than it's a little spooky and a little worrisome and troubling, even though the end result is kind of haunting and beautiful. Someone fed Kurt Cobain's voice into an AI and had Kurt Cobain, who has been dead since the 90s, and Kurt Cobain, lead singer of Nirvana, and had Kurt Cobain cover Gautier's Somebody I Used to Know.
It's a great song.
It's a great song, and Kurt Cobain is the perfect voice for it. And if you hear this and didn't know it was AI, you don't know it's AI. So let's listen.
I'm in sync of when we were together. Like when you said you felt so happy you could die. Myself that you were right for me, but felt so lonely in your company. But that was love and it's a make I still remember. addicted to a certain kind of sadness. My present mission to the end, always the end. So when we found that we could not make sense, well, you said that we would still be friends. But I'll admit that I was glad it was over.
I loved it. Are you kidding?
I like the Gautier version so
I
much
loved
better.
It.
But you know what I did notice is that, and I'm bad about this, I don't pay attention to lyrics as closely as I think women do, especially, but I paid attention to the lyrics more with that AI version. I don't know why. With the Gautier thing, it was just kind of a sound, a spooky sound. I loved the song.
The lyrics, that song, I remember the night that song won the Grammy. Prince presented the Grammy, and Prince opened the envelope, looked at it, and just shook his head and said, what a great song, because it is a great song. So I'll post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. We are living, I mean, if you're like me and your favorite movies are like Blade Runner and The Matrix, well, here we are. We're living in it now. Welcome, everybody.
It's scary.
It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
So if you were with us a few minutes ago, we played this AI version of the Gautier song, Somebody I Used to Know, but with Kurt Cobain's voice singing it. Now, Bob didn't like it. Max and I both loved it. That you really, like Cobain really knew how to sing ragged heartbreak and pain. So AI, I mean, it's here and it's more prevalent than you know, and you can feed a person's voice into it and boom, it's like that person's in the room. I know a handful of people in our business that have clauses written into their contracts that the company they're working for can't harvest their voice for AI. We are living in weird times, but I've been thinking about it. Like, there's this one thing I cannot do. I've tried, but every time I try, I break down giggling, and it just doesn't work. And my poor husband, he would love it. Like, if he was on his deathbed, his make-a-wish would be for me to be able to do this one thing, and I just can't do it. But thanks to AI, I'm finally going to be able to talk dirty, and I'm so excited. Because this is not something I can do. So I'm going to, because like there are certain things, as soon as I say them, I just start giggling. But, oh, and I really want you to, with your, yeah, ooh, yes, that's so awesome. I can't do it. So I'm going to have Doc direct me to which AI would be the best, and I'm going to feed my voice into it. And then I'm just going to occasionally surprise Kevin by sending him voice memos.
Me, what a dream
my
for
AI
Doc.
Robot. Yeah.
Thank you for killing it for us.
Jerry. Yeah.
Thank
what so a dream for Doc. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be the weekend before you know it. You got to fill the hours somehow. Am I right, Doc? So this is going to be, but listen, listen, no one tell Kevin it's AI. Let the man have this one small thing. Okay. Let him have it. It doesn't have to be real. Let him have it. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
It is talk back time, and you can give us a call on the phone at 844-52-SHERI, or you can snatch up the free Bob and Sherry app, and with it you can listen to the show, and you can text the studio and enter contests. And all of our podcasts, including The Oddcast and The Regular Show and True Weird Stuff and Talking Lamar. So on a recent episode of Talking Lamar, Lamar just casually name-checked a product that his mom used. It was a medicine called Save the Baby, which I think is the best name for a product ever. I never heard about it. And so not only did Doris use the Save the Baby, but she had a whole handful of home remedies, too, that were exactly what you might suspect. So anyway, Lamar, this one's for you.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. I was just listening to the most recent episode of Talking Lamar about home and family remedies and found them all very interesting. I am reminded of the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where all the characters, or at least the dad, was putting Windex on everything. Just made me laugh. In my family, or I should say my husband's family, and we're from Kentucky, in my husband's family, if they get a small kitchen burn, they use mustard, which I thought at first would really burn with the vinegar that's in it. But I've used it a couple of times, just plain yellow mustard for small burns. Obviously not huge burns, but small burns. And yeah, it works great. So just thought I would share and really enjoyed the discussion and learning different things, different home remedies and cures. Have a great day.
I always use Grey Poupon when I have a burn.
Of course.
I just...
Of course you do.
You are so bougie.
We use mayonnaise.
I came from nothing. If I'm out there and I stick my hand in fire, you know, by mistake, I'm cooking something, I'm going for the Grey Poupon. Yeah, I struggled in my early years.
So, guys, doesn't mustard seem super acidic to put on a
burn?
Like,
that's why we used mayonnaise. Mayonnaise on a burn. I mean, that's what we used. Now, you know. I don't know. Maybe she's got something.
Yeah, if you're really tough, if you have a burn, I just go with a lemon. Just put this, squeeze that lemon right on that burn. You'll know you're alive.
Though? So think about this. Like maybe the sting. So you've got a burn and you dump some acidic mustard on it. And now it like, whoa, are you really lit up? But you're distracted from the pain of the burn. And maybe it does some crazy thing to like your nervous system and kind of cancels it out.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. Yeah, by mistake, somebody's got a bow and arrow. I'm walking through the woods, and they shoot me in the chest with an arrow. So what I should do is pull out my knife and stab myself in the leg? No, that's a ridiculous thing.
That's the general idea of it, yeah.
I mean, got to go with what works. That's the first time I've heard of mustard, though. We would either do butter or mayonnaise, but never mustard.
You see, in our family, we didn't do butter or mayonnaise or hot sauce or mustard or anything. We would get an injury, and my grandma Blackhair would take her cigarette out of her mouth and say, "Does it hurt? Try having a baby."
I thought you were going to say she'd put an ash on it.
Oh, no.
They used to put ashes on
it. That's a bee sting.
Yeah, we used cigarette ashes for many things. But she would take that Miracle 100 out and goes, it hurt? Try having a baby. Now, that was one thing to say to me, but to tell my brother Mark that, he was never going to be able to go through childbirth, right? So what's he doing with that? She would, because my people are gruesome, she would say, does it hurt? Did I ever tell you about that time your grandfather got his foot cut in the lawnmower? Like, tell us some gruesome horror story that was even worse. So as children, this is why I'm such a hot mess of codependency and self-annihilation, because my whole life, all I ever heard was, whatever you got going on, somebody else had it worse. Try having a baby.
That's right.
All right, don't move. We've got so much Bob and Sherry coming up for you, including we're going to take you deep into Blackbird, which Beyonce has covered on Cowboy Carter so beautifully. Paul McCartney was thrilled. But there's another artist who needs to get a shout out for that song. That's coming up. And can you believe this? This is Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we know there are all kinds of different cats, and we'd like to see yours. Just submit a pic of you and your cat to bobandsherry.com, and we'll post your pic. And you could be one of our weekly winners of a keepsake, My Life is All About My Cat frame, with the winning photo inside, plus a hide and scratch cat box. Hide and scratch is the perfect scratching box. We want to see your cat. Yep, even that cat. Every day is Catter Day with Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
So I have to tell you guys two things that happened to my husband, Kevin. He drove to Utah to see my mom. She was so excited. She just could not believe that he wouldn't be ready to make the trip. And he did pretty well, you know, with his leg. It was a lot of driving, but at least he wasn't walking on it too much. And he got out there and she was so happy to see him. So I flew out there and he met me there because I was speaking at a broadcasting conference. So my mom and Kevin and my older brother and his wife are sitting out on my mom's little back patio. And I'm in the house. I don't know what I'm doing. And my mom says to Kevin, this is the first thing that happened. My mom says to Kevin, Kevin, honey, you might want to close your legs. I can see your junk. Okay. Well.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Did I just hear that?
Kevin, the way Kevin almost died right there.
Did she use that expression?
I just gave you her exact words. Her exact words. So now you couldn't, okay? Because my brother and my sister-in-law confirmed that you couldn't. It might have been a shadow or something. Kevin was horrified, but he could not think of any response to make to that because he loves my mom. They're buddies. And he's like, this is my mother-in-law. And she is, Kevin's a real Southern gentleman. She is 81 years old. I cannot discuss my junk with my mother-in-law. So he was just dying. I come back outside and everybody is doubled over laughing. And Kevin is bright red and looking like he wants the ground to swallow him. I didn't find out until later what had happened. So that was the first thing. And he was really struggling with that. So the next day, they're all outside again. And now Lisa, who's like my cousin, has come down from Ogden to spend the rest of the time with us. They're all outside. Everybody's having a cocktail. I'm in the house for whatever reason. And my mom is telling Lisa and Nancy about a doctor's appointment. And it was an OBGYN appointment. And she turned to Kevin and said, Kevin, do you know what that doctor said to me while I was in the stirrups? Okay, so like, Kevin, he didn't want, that doctor could have given my mother the secret to eternal life, but the words in the stirrups were a complete shutdown for him. So she goes, honey, that doctor said to me, you know, Fran, you have very nice feet and I see a lot of them doing this job. And sometimes I'll tell women like, maybe you should try different shoes or, you know, you might want to see somebody about that, but your feet... Your feet are lovely. Kevin, what do you think about that?
Wow.
Kevin said later, he's like, all I could do was look at the ground because I cannot say, and I didn't know what to say. And I was like, babe, you did exactly the right thing. All you could do was look at the ground, because if he had said anything, anything at all, this is what would have happened. After we left, my mom would have said, Lisa, did you know that Sherry's Kevin likes my feet? And that would have become like, would have gone viral in the family. Yeah. So Kevin is just blushing and looking at the ground and shaking his head. He has no idea what to say. So, and of course, I'm not there for any of this. That night, my mom had gone to bed, and it was just me and Kev and Mark and Nancy and Lisa, and we're sitting outside by the fire pit, and Kevin is telling this story. And Kevin said, you know, I think of myself as a witty conversationalist, but I can't discuss my junk or your mom's feet with your mom.
Hey, Sherry, Father's Day's right around the corner, and I'm thinking a six-pack of Tidy Whiteys might be a good gift.
Oh, my God. I was on the floor. I said, I'm so proud of you. You know, there are times in a man's life where the best and only thing that man can do is remain completely silent. And
exactly.
You chose that not once, but twice in one 24-hour period. Well done. Well done.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom is 81 years old and sharp as a tack, but the filter, it's gone.
Gone.
It is gone, gone. Gone. And my poor husband, I'm looking for a good therapist right now that works with traumatized men, because he can't let it go. He's so worked up about it. All right, straight ahead, we're going to take you all the way behind the scenes on Blackbird. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
There has been so much online discourse about Cowboy Carter, Beyonce's stunning country album. And I'll remind everybody that Beyonce is a Texas girl, and no one should be surprised that her musical roots go deep, deep, deep into country and folk and bluegrass and all of that. And one of the songs on the album is her cover of the Beatles' Blackbird, which is pretty extraordinary when you consider why Paul McCartney wrote it and who he wrote it for. So why don't we start with a little bit of the original Blackbird, Max?
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you were only waiting for this moment.
By the way, that's a male blackbird in the background. If you're wanting the sound effect.
So in 2021, Paul McCartney released a book that he wrote called The Lyrics. And here's what he said about Blackbird. He said, in 1968, when I was writing Blackbird, I was conscious of the terrible racial tensions in the U.S. The year before, 1967, had been a particularly bad year. 1968 was even worse. I wrote the song only a few weeks after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and I had in mind a black woman rather than a bird. Bird is British slang. It was London slang of the era for women. And he said, those were the days of the civil rights movement, which all of us cared passionately about. This was a song from me, Paul McCartney, to a black woman experiencing those problems in the States. I just want to encourage you to keep trying. Keep your faith. There's hope. So that was the meaning of the song. That's who Paul McCartney wrote it for. But before we play some Beyonce, Max has a mind-blowing fun fact for you.
So Paul McCartney said what he did was he stole the little riff, the guitar riff that's on that, from Bach. So I'll play the piece by Bach that he stole it from, and then I'll tell you what he did with it. So you probably have heard this before. It's one of those pieces of music where you say, hey, I've heard that before, but I just didn't know who it was by or what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So Paul McCartney took the piece of music and he played that backwards. Now, I don't know if you'll hear it on this, but I took the Bach and I put it backwards to see if we can hear it.
I don't
Jones. I can't hear it, but I've heard the same thing, and it was the inspiration. Yeah.
I can hear
it. I've read McCartney's book, so I know what you're talking about. It's a wonderful book, just discussing the lyrics.
I think this cover that Beyonce did is breathtaking, and we're going to play that now.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see.
To see
all your life. Waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of a dark black night. Singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Learn to fly, learn to fly.
All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
And those other beautiful voices, we'll get this posted, are Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tara Kennedy, and Raina Roberts. And Paul McCartney went all over social media about how he wrote, he said, I wrote this for her, and I love this version.
It's a beautiful reimagination of that song.
This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Man, I saw something online. It's a nightmare. A TikToker posted what I hope is something that stays in Australia and never makes it to America. No, no, I'm not talking about a snake or a spider or a box jellyfish. I'm talking about moviegoers being barefooted in the movie theater. I mean, who does this? He posted videos of dozens of bare feet propped up on foot rails. Now, I'm not a big proponent of us coming from apes, but this makes me pretty sure we're regressing in that direction. You cannot come into a restaurant barefooted. People get up in arms when people take off their shoes and socks on an airplane. Honestly, people, why would you think that people around you want to see your naked feet? Are your feet so special and magical that the pool or the beach is not enough exposure? Do I have to try to eat my perfect popcorn peanut M&M mixture as I'm gagging, looking at your crooked, unmanicured toes? What are we doing? I don't get it. I just don't understand. I'm at a loss.
Well, let me help you out. Here's where it actually is positive. Okay. If you're going to an Adam Sandler comedy, at least something else stinks more than what's on the screen.
Yeah, you might have something there, but I'm just, oh my gosh. In fact, this makes me think of something that would be in an Adam Sandler comedy. I mean, y'all people on Down Under, what are you doing? You can't be walking around your bare feet outside. Something will eat your toes off. I mean, you'll step on some poisonous something and you'll die in 15 minutes. I mean, come on. Put the shoes on. Leave them on when you go into the theater. Keep them on and walk your butt back out the door. I don't want to see all this. Keep that in Australia, not in the USA. This is a public service announcement from Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
All right, what can't you do anymore? Rick, welcome to the show. Hey, how are you?
All right,
good,
Rick.
How you
doing, my man?
I'm doing real good right now.
All right.
The thing I cannot do anymore is smoke marijuana.
You cannot?
I tried one time, and that was enough for me.
Wow. Did you smoke a lot of weed before, Rick?
No, I never did. It was the first and the last time.
What happened to you that one time you smoked?
Well, I was a single guy. I was living by myself. I was bored, so I got some from a friend. I decided I was going to try it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was at home alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I might have smoked too much. I don't know. But I got so freaked out that I thought I was having a heart attack. I ended up calling the ambulance on myself.
What did you say to 911?
Boy, I'd love to hear that 911 call, wouldn't you? Yeah. The call would go on for 30 minutes.
Seriously, what did you tell the medics?
I told the dispatcher, I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. I didn't tell him what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you just got to come get me right now. I told him where I live. I left the front door unlocked, and I just laid down on the couch. And so the paramedics came in, and I said, get me on the gurney. Get me to the hospital. I'm having a heart attack. They said, what's the matter? And I told them, I said, I just smoked a whole doobie about the size of my middle finger by myself. And they looked at each other and started laughing. Okay? So anyway, I said, let's get going here. I'm barely hanging on. I'm about to die. And I can't. Has anybody ever died?
Rick, I love you. I do.
Oh, God, Rick.
Die.
What did the medics say?
Well, they said, why don't we just call some of your friends? You don't need an ambulance ride. It's going to be expensive. I said, no. Get me in the ambulance. Get those things that you rub together and put on the chest. Check my pulse. I don't have one. I'm dying.
What happened, Rick?
Well, they loaded me up. They took me to the emergency room. I guess they called ahead because everybody was laughing at me. The doctor came in and gave me something that calmed me down. And he wrote out the little prescription thing. He said, go home, get some rest, and in big letters, quit smoking weed.
You're making that up.
I'm not making it up, I swear to God. That was the first and last time I ever did that. I learned my lesson.
Oh, Rick, you're something. Oh, man. Well.
Oh, Rick. You know,
That's great. Well, you got to learn the hard way, you know?
That's
you got to hit rock bottom sometimes.
Right.
Rick, how old were you when you did this?
I was about 24 years old.
Quit smoking weed.
How old are you now, Rick?
I'm 34.
Oh, thank God.
And you've never been tempted again?
No, that was enough. That
good.
That one little frightening moment was it. I couldn't even speak. I could barely walk.
How did it feel? Because you were really paranoid, obviously. How did it feel to be wheeled into the ER and everyone started laughing at you?
It was embarrassing. It was hugely, hugely embarrassing. And there was, you know, I was single at the time. There was a lot of really good-looking nurses and stuff in there. Oh, man, it was bad.
I guess none of them were really interested in dating you.
No.
At that point.
It's a small town. I think I ruined those chances for myself.
I don't know who your friend was, but he didn't say you may not want to be alone and you may not want to
smoke
it
all.
Well, listen, that's the other thing about it, Bob and Cherry. The next day, I told him what had happened, and I said, was that normal? He said, oh, no, man, that stuff came from out in Oregon, you know, and it turns out that it was created by people in, like, white lab coats with clipboards.
Oh, serious Oregon weed. Pacific Northwest,
check
Rick.
With our friends in Eugene about that.
Rick. Todd will tell you, you can smoke a lot of ditch weed, but you cannot smoke a lot of, like, high tech. And, of course, you shouldn't smoke any because it's illegal and bad.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. Thanks for adding that. Mary Jane over here is giving instructions on what to do.
I have to
say, the
next
thing she would say is, Todd would also tell you, don't ever smoke alone, Rick. Don't
smoke
alone.
That's how you get paranoid. Rick, I just love you.
You know what? Excuse me. Hey. I'm leaving before the cops get here.
Hey, Bob, don't smoke alone because you're going to need your friend to drive you to the hospital, Rick. Yeah, that's what Todd would say.
I love you. You were so innocent and so naive that you called 911.
In all seriousness, don't smoke weed.
Don't smoke weed.
Hey, make you stupid.
You don't have to worry about that ever again.
All right.
Make you stupid.
I thought the prescription pad was going to say, all right, now 6 Twinkies. 5 homos.
That's right.
2 bags of Fritos.
Not in Rick's case.
You should have saved that prescription. You should have copied it and saved it. That's so funny. That's a great story. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, Rick. Take care of yourself, pal.
Thank y'all. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
We're sending teachers on vacation this summer to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Just nominate a teacher to win this trip from Visit Florida at bobandsherry.com.
I have a skill that is actually fairly unusual, and I think I picked it up by doing this show for so many years, because we would have wonderful people who come into the studio or on the phone or whatever, celebrities or people who have done interesting things, and they're easy. You know, you're just kind of feeding them questions to get something out of them. But then every once in a while, you got a comedian who stayed up and got drunk the night after the show, and he's in a miserable mood, and you got to kind of work him a little bit so that the whole bit doesn't go down the toilet. I have discovered I'm good at doing that in real life. And I have two examples that just happened. Example number one, I have a very good friend and I like him very much. But at this point, and he's older than I am, in this point in his life, he doesn't do a whole lot. He and his wife have just retired, and he spends a lot of time, I think, watching the news. And so I said, you know, you got to get out of the house. So I picked him up and took him out to lunch, and he got in the car, and right away, boy, I tell you, it's crazy in this world now. I went, what do you mean? He goes, well, the people in New York are doing this. And oh my God, did you see the price of gasoline? And I could have challenged him on everything that he was saying. Now, some of it was true, but some of it was just a terrible exaggeration that he's picked up watching cable news. And instead of challenging him, I just said, yeah, it's funny. Not like when we were kids, huh? I just was massaging it, and eventually he got it all out. It took about 30 minutes, and by the time we got to the restaurant, he had gotten it all out, and we had a nice time. And we were talking about, you know, our kids and what they're doing and so on and so forth. So I think that skill was picked up on this show. And the other one was this. I had to drop something off over at the house of a friend of ours, something that Mary had. I had to drop it off, and I go to the house because she was working. And the woman opens the door, and her husband is there. And I hadn't met him but once. And I'm saying, hi, you know, I just wanted to drop it off. Oh, it's no problem at all. I was in this area. And there you go. Nice night. He started talking about his wife. And he wanted to dig her in front of another person. He wanted to give her a little shot in the side, a little shiv in the side in front of another person. Because she said something, and immediately he disagreed. And then she turned and shot something back at him. And it went on for about 60 seconds. And it was so uncomfortable. I just kept that smile, the PM Magazine smile on my face, like I'm listening to somebody I'm interested in. And trying to laugh at whatever the cutting joke was, but not too much, because that would mean I'm choosing sides. It's a delicate balancing act, and it's exhausting. But
I hate when that happens.
Oh my gosh, I hate when that happens.
When two people are having a sort of a passive-aggressive disagreement in front of you, and you are an important ingredient in that, because they clearly don't want to really talk to each other privately.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They need you there, but it's the worst position to be in ever. It's so uncomfortable.
Have you ever picked up a couple, you're going to go on a double date, and you're driving, and you pick up the couple and they get in the car and it is frosty in the back seat. One of them's very quiet and the other one's doing what you were saying, just kind of talking out loud about why they weren't ready. You know, I try to get ready and I'm ready a half an hour early.
Well, some of us can't afford to take our time getting ready because we don't deal with the kids or the dog or the phone or
exactly. Now, on the front porch of that house, it wasn't going to be bad because obviously I'm not going to spend 2 or 3 hours there, right? I've got an escape. But wait, when they get in the car, you're going to be with them that night, and it's just going to be a brutal night.
That happens to all of us. It really, really does.
You think so?
I do. And what's even worse is when you're about 11 years old and you're riding in the back seat with your friend and their mom and dad are doing that in the front seat. And occasionally mom looks over the back seat and says, "Isn't that right, Sherry? Wouldn't it be unfair for one person to have to do everything?" Is there any way you guys could leave me on the side of the road and let me take my chances?
Just slow the car down. I'll jump out.
It's Bob and Sherry. I would love, Freaky Friday where the mom and daughter switch places. I want Freaky Friday where the husband and wife switch places. That's the movie I want to see because I want to know what it is like to be a husband, like specifically my own, because I'm sure some of y'all have real game or whatever, but let me give you an example. So we had gone to a big family dinner and at my sister wife's house, and she made a ton of food, like enough food. She's like me, like will there be 10 people here? We should probably cook for 40, right? It's that kind of a thing. So girl, you are taking food home. I said, damn straight, I'm taking food home. It's delicious. So we're all like, me and Maggie and everybody, we're all like making our little doggy bags. So I'm like, a fruit salad, asparagus, and biscuits, and I've got some of this and some of that. And they had spiral sliced ham. So I pile up some ham in one of these little paper bowls and wrap it in some foil and take it home, put it in the fridge. So some time passes, you know, like maybe a day. And my husband comes to me and he goes, didn't you bring some ham home from Joni's? I'm like, I did. It's in the fridge. And he goes, well, I can't find it. I'm like, it's in one of those foil covered containers in the fridge. So he goes into the refrigerator and he takes everything out on the counter and he's like, this isn't ham. This is fruit. Oh, move to the head of the class. You can identify the difference between fruit and ham. This isn't ham. This is a biscuit. Yes, that is in fact a biscuit. So over and over, he can't find the ham. He goes on the family group chat and demands to know who in the family has stolen his ham. Meaning, who went into the bag of leftovers designated for our house and has stolen his ham? I see this hit because my phone dings and I look down and our family group text is the most active thing on the planet. It's like a volcano. I'm like, oh, here we go. Now he's accusing people of stealing his ham. The spiral sliced ham was as big as a middle schooler. No one needed to steal his ham. There was so freaking much ham. So I know that the ham is in the refrigerator somewhere. I'm like, I you just missed it. How could you miss it? So after a while, he goes, I'm like, it's there. Go look. Now, I know you're wondering, why didn't you get up and go look for it for him? Because I'm trying to not do that. I'm trying to not do that. Like,
You're trying to train him.
I feel like he's a man. He can find the ham using his manly eyes and his two manly hands. I sent him to find ham, not the Higgs boson particle, okay? Like, it's in the refrigerator. So sure enough, he goes back in there and he's rooting around. He goes, oh, well, here's the ham. It was underneath a napkin.
He did nothing wrong. I will just tell you this right now. I am standing up for the man. He did nothing wrong. They are going to, in probably 100 years, just figure out that there is something within the male eyeballs that make it impossible to see what you want us to get. When my wife tells me, go get me mint jelly out of the refrigerator. I start to sweat because she's within 4 or 5 feet of me. She hears it open, and there's a clock that's going off in her head. One,
but it's
two,
it's not like
three,
you can't read
four,
mint jelly.
Five.
These things are labeled.
I understand.
This is why I want the Marriage Freaky Friday. I want to wake up in a world where I can't find things. I don't know where things are. I can't keep track of dates and appointments. I just want to be that person. I want to be that person for a whole
day. Do you know something, Sherry Lynch? Do you know something? If they, you know, they're doing another Freaky Friday.
But it's not her kind of Freaky Friday.
It's the third one. That as a movie could be hysterical. Women
would be so good.
Get the jokes just like that. It would be so good.
I don't need to Freaky Friday with my daughter, although I would get some of my jewelry and clothing back if I did so. But I don't need that. I know what that is like. Oh, and my God, I'm on TikTok. I get that. I got it. I want a Freaky Friday with my husband. I want to yell. I want to yell at the TV at the sporty ball players. I want to yell things like, oh, drop the ball. I hope they choke your grandma. Like, I want to act like that and then not be able to find ham. That's my dream. It's a small
scratching,
one.
Scratching.
All of it. Yeah. All of it. Oh, all yeah. of it. And then when he walks into the room, I want to say to him, like, I found my ham. Are you wearing a bra? I want to act like that. I want to be that for a whole day. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
You know, we just got through talking about the fact that Kevin couldn't find the ham in the refrigerator, and you could have easily walked right in and put your hand on it. I know you could.
Absolutely.
You forced him to find it eventually. I'm the world's worst. You know, Carl will send me to find something, and I'm looking everywhere. I can't see it. I can't find it, you know. And then when she comes in and picks it up right in front of me, I have to listen to, how can you not just see this? How can you not know this? How can you not this? How can you not do that? So she had went on a trip with some girls up to the beach up of North Carolina. And so she gets back, and so she's unpacked all her stuff. Well, she cannot find her bag that has her jewelry in it. And she's freaking out. I mean, she's freaking out. She goes,
yeah,
it's got all my jewelry in there. And she said, it's fluorescent pink. She said, it's impossible. She said, I need you to look for it. You know, and then I'm you know, I looked around. I didn't see it. So she comes in right before we leave this past weekend. She goes, did you find it? Did you find it? So, no, I hadn't really looked for it. She goes, I'm telling you, I've looked everywhere. I've turned everything upside down. And so I just walked into the bathroom, and I picked up the bag that she carries all of her toiletries in when we travel. And I looked over, and I saw this orange thing, and I picked it up, and I said, is this it? She goes, where'd you find it? I said, well, it was laying right there. She said, I done checked that bag 3 or 4 times. I said, well, it's laying right there. And so she got it, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm really torn here. I'm really glad to have my jewelry. I'm glad. I really am. She said, but I am so pissed that you found it, that you walked up and you picked it up. And I said, welcome to my life. Welcome
Amen.
To my daily
Lamar.
Life.
Amen.
Did she accuse you of planting it? Because I've been accused of planting Kevin's things so that I could find them.
No, she said, are you sure it was right there? I said, I'm telling you, it's right here. She goes, I don't know. She said, I'm happy, but I'm mad at the same time. I'll get over
it, but I'm
mad. I've
had the same experience. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's the only time this ever happened for me, and I'm so excited about it.
Round of applause.
Yes.
Well
this
played.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.